Our topic this morning is prophets and seers. I'd like to begin by talking about three levels of prophesying. The highest level, what we're going to talk about this morning, is what's called the prophet. This is one whom God uses frequently, who has a record of accuracy, and who is acknowledged as a prophet by those in spiritual authority. Okay? They recognize this person as a prophet. We call this the office or the official position of prophet. I hesitate to use the term lower level, but another level that's not as intense as the office of prophet is the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 10 says, to one there is given through the Spirit, and he then begins a list of spiritual gifts, and then in verse 10 he says, to another, prophecy. In other words, prophecy is a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And then verse 37, 1 Corinthians 14. If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, notice the distinction there, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. So this, to me, suggests that there is a difference between a prophet, the office of the prophet, and one who has the gift of prophecy. One is a person with an acknowledged history of accurate prophecies. The other is someone who has a spiritual gift, which makes that possible. You follow me? There are lots of people with the gift of prophecy who don't have the office of prophet. That includes me. Thank you very much. And there aren't people who have the gift of prophecy but don't have the office of prophet aren't always as accurate in what they prophesy. But then there's a third category, and that is that all may prophesy. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Paul was all in favor of speaking in tongues, right? He encouraged them to do it. In fact, he even stated, I speak in tongues more than all of you, just to show how important it is. He says, I would like for every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you what? Now, the word prophesy there is the Greek verb, means prophetuo, which means to speak under the influence of divine inspiration. That's what it means, to speak under the influence of divine inspiration. Now, Paul was writing to all the believers in the church that he would rather have them, every one of them, prophesy. Now, again, this shows the emphasis Paul places on the gift of prophecy. Now, look at verse 31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Now, generally, this is interpreted to mean that anyone can prophesy. While I believe that's true, that anyone can prophesy, this context of this verse right here is instructions to prophets, so it may not apply to everyone. I really don't know. But verses 1 and 5 do apply to everyone, and so does verse 39. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, here the context is general instructions to believers, all right? He's not talking to the categories of the prophets. He's talking about believers in general. He says to you, be eager to prophesy. That likely means that anyone may prophesy. Any child of God, any Christian may prophesy. Now, obviously, we wouldn't expect someone who doesn't have the gift of prophecy to prophesy as frequently or as accurately as someone with the gift, right? But anyone can prophesy. And by the way, in that passage right there, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about how to test what is spoken in prophecy. We need to recognize that's especially important whenever people who aren't recognized as prophets and may not even have the gift of prophecy, when they prophesy, we especially need to test what they say. Mm-hmm. But someone who has the gift of prophecy, okay, but I still need to listen to them. The office of prophet, he's probably accurate, and if I don't understand what he's saying, it's probably on my fault, not his, but I still need to judge what he says.
Right.
Okay? We always need to test what somebody says in behalf of the Lord. That includes any teachers. We need to test it, check it out, to see if it is in fact. Well, the key to prophecy, to prophesying, is becoming aware of God's will, what he's doing, or what's happening in the spiritual realm, whether that revelation comes by hearing or seeing images or some other way, like visions, dreams, intuitions, feelings, or whatever. Now, prophesying does not have to begin with, the Lord says, or thus saith the Lord. It can be a regular statement that's inspired by God. It doesn't necessarily have to have flowing or glowing language. It may not necessarily sound like, oh, I can tell by the tone of their voice they're speaking for God. No, it may be just a regular statement that you make to somebody, to an individual or to a group, that's inspired And people may not know for sure unless they consider carefully what you're saying. So we're talking about any statement that is divinely inspired. Any questions or comments on the three levels of prophesying? I don't know. He certainly has the gift of prophecy, doesn't he?
Yes.
He certainly does. You can tell by the quality of what he says. Right?
Yes.
It's very clear he has the gift of prophecy. Now, whether he is acknowledged by other spiritual leadership as being a prophet, I don't know. He doesn't wear a label, and I appreciate that. Well, seriously, people who have to identify themselves, I am Prophet Larry, or I'm an Apostle Larry, or whatever, I'm thinking,
others have to.
Yeah. Yep. Even if somebody does identify you as a prophet or an apostle or whatever, I'm not sure that's a label you should add to your name. All right? Because that indicates I'm trying to draw attention to my stature or to my position or status, okay? Linda?
I'm not going to say prophesy that much at all, but mm-hmm. When something comes back, I said, I believe the Lord is that.
Excellent.
And, that can be judged from that point.
I think that lends credibility. I recommend what she said, that if you have a word, it's beneficial to say, I believe the Lord would say, or I think the Lord would say to you, or I think the Lord is showing me, that kind of thing. And that does a couple of things. That draws their attention to, well, this might be from God. But it also humbles myself in saying, I think this is what God is saying. You can test it. You need to test it. You follow me? So thank you for bringing that up. That's an excellent suggestion. Well, I presented these three levels of prophecy, of prophets, because they also apply to those who experience spiritual sight. That's the reason I went through this with the prophets. Look at 1 Samuel 9:9. It says, formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. Now, when he's talking about today, the prophet of today, he's referring to Samuel's time. That's Old Testament, okay? So before the Old Testament time of Samuel, prophets were called seers. Their function didn't change, just the emphasis and the terminology. Because a seer is one type or category of prophet. It's one type or category of prophet. Now, by that I'm referring to all three levels of those who prophesy. All seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Now, most prophetic people emphasize hearing God's voice. So do I. It's extremely important. But we need to include the visual aspect of the prophetic, so we use the term seer. However, spiritual vision is simply a different spiritual sense other than spiritual hearing. Any questions or comments on these points?
Are these seers what we refer to as judges in the early times? Before the Jews wanted the kings.
No, I think they were separate. I don't think that any reference in the Old Testament to the judges of Israel necessarily referred to seers. Now, some of them might have been seers. I don't know. But I believe that's a different category. Any other questions or comments on what we've covered so far? I think the term prophet is broader than just the office of a prophet. I'm not sure about that. I do not call myself a prophet. I say I'm prophetically motivated or prophetically inclined or something like that, but I do not refer to myself as a prophet. But I don't know if people refer to me as a prophet or not, but I definitely do not have the office of prophet. So I don't know how broad the term prophet is, if anybody who has the gift of prophecy would be considered a prophet, or when that term is reserved for the office of prophet.
Well, the thing is, if you prophesy and then it comes true, yeah, this is what we're looking for.
Right.
A prophet would go ahead and prophesy, and then if that came true, what he prophesied.
Yes.
Well, then you would refer to him as a prophet if he did it a number of times. At least that's the way I look at it.
He has a history of accurate prophecy, and spiritual leadership acknowledges that in him or her. But whether the term prophet is broader than that, I really don't know. I don't refer to myself as a prophet. Any other questions or comments? So far. All right, let's talk about seers. There are many expressions of the seer gift. For example, some seers primarily have visions, others primarily have dreams, others primarily have mental images. Look at Numbers 12:6. This is the Lord speaking to Aaron and Miriam about Moses. And God said, when a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. So God is referring to the prophet using spiritual sight, not just spiritual hearing. Do you see that? So prophets and people with the gift of prophecy or anyone who prophesies may receive their revelation primarily through spiritual hearing, through spiritual seeing, or both. I do both. Knowing God's voice is essential to those who see spiritually because they need God to explain what they see and what to do about it. That's why in the activity I'm saying ask God to show you, then ask you what that means. We need to be able to hear God's voice to test what we're seeing and also to interpret it properly. Any questions or comments about seers? Again, seers are a type or a category of prophets.
I mean, seer, or seer,
there's a dividing line because some prophets, some prophetic people, let me put it that way, some prophetically inclined or motivated people rely primarily on hearing God's voice, getting specific words to say, okay? In fact, sometimes they will speak verbatim, exactly what God says. That's the prophetically, that's one category of the prophetic. Another category of the prophetic is seeing images. Again, all seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. To me, that clarifies it, yeah. Again, a seer is a type or a category of the prophetic person. All right, now let's talk about everybody. God gave all of us spiritual senses. That's standard equipment for human spirits. That's standard equipment. If you have a spirit, which you do, then you have spiritual senses. So it's possible for you to see in the spirit, though some of us will do it more than others. We are all born with the ability to see in the spirit, but we must become aware of that ability and to develop it. You with me so far? You have the ability to not only hear God's voice, but also to see the spiritual realm. Those are two different spiritual senses, but every one of us is equipped with both of those and many others. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And also notice the format that's on the page there. That'll become significant in just a moment. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will do what?
Prophesy.
Now, the word prophesy is the word we've seen so far, prophetio. It's the same Greek word we saw earlier. I don't think this passage categorizes who will prophesy versus who will see visions versus who will have dreams. I don't think that's the point of this at all. In fact, I think that's definitely not the purpose of it. This is a quote. This here in Acts chapter 2 is a quote from the Old Testament. Actually, from a part of the Old Testament that's written in poetic verse. And it's typical for poetic verses to use couplets, that is two lines or two phrases or statements, to state the same thing different ways, or to state related thoughts together for emphasis or clarity. Look at this, Psalm 135, verses 8 and 9. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. That's a couplet with the same thought stated different ways. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Saying exactly the same thing, a different way, for clarity and emphasis. Verse 9. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. That's a related but different thoughts stated together. One completes the other, right? They're both related. So some poetic couplets say the same thing differently, and others make related statements for emphasis and clarity. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 quotes Joel 2, 28 and 29, which is written in poetic couplets, which is the reason I put it that way on your sheet. That's the way it appears in our NIV Bible, NIV Bibles and most others. They're written in poetic couplets. So you can see the couplets there in Acts chapter 2. So it's lists of different groups of people with different experiences does not necessarily mean other listed groups won't have the same experiences. Rather, it shows that all groups of people will have the same experience. It's inclusive, not exclusive. All age groups and both genders will have similar experiences. Notice verse 17, it says, for example, your sons and daughters will prophesy. But verse 19 says, both men and women, that is, adult men and adult women, will prophesy. Do you see that?
But can you prophesy without having the Holy Spirit in you? Because this is what we...
Who?
I look at the Holy Spirit when we talk about Acts 17 and 18.
That's an excellent question. Let me just ask you some questions. Does God normally speak through people who don't believe in Him?
He can use animals, anything
right.
He wants to.
Yeah. He can use animals, rocks. The key word there was normally, but what you're saying is true. However, God does not normally speak through unbelievers, people who don't relate to Him, right?
I think desperate measures require, what is it, desperate situations or whatever,
right.
Require desperate measures.
Right.
So it's, you know, Deborah, the prophetess, said, mm-hmm. a man won't do it, so now I'm going to go do it, but you're going to pay a price
right.
because you didn't do it yourself and I have to help you.
Right.
I mean, that's my paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
But it was God uses who He needs to use to get the job done.
Okay, now people who, God normally speaks only through people who belong to Him, right?
Right. Right.
Today we call us Christians, right?
Yes.
Does that group of people have the Holy Spirit?
Christians, yes.
Christians, yes.
Well, if you accept Christ, then the Holy Spirit enters into you.
That's
so
right.
So you're in Him and He is in you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
So.
And not separately.
God normally speaks through what we would call Christians today, or believers. And all believers, all Christians, have the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So did we answer Gene's question? Does God only speak through people who have the Holy Spirit? Well, normally, yes.
Normal.
We call them Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that answer your question?
It was a question I brought up.
Yeah.
For this astute group of people.
Yes, and they have the answers. I'm glad you brought it up.
Astute, did you notice that?
My point is this. Getting back to Acts chapter 2, verses... Getting back to Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, which is also Joel 2, 28 and 29, your age does not determine which experiences you will have. All of us can prophesy or have dreams or have visions. Just because it says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, he's not saying only young men will have visions. And only, you get to a certain age and suddenly you're going to stop having visions and have dreams instead. That's not what it's saying. These are inclusive verses, not exclusive. The last line I quoted there, and they will prophesy, referring to everyone. Whether you receive your perceive your prophetic statement from actual words that you hear from God speaking to you, or whether you see it through a vision or an image or whatever, whether you receive it through spiritual hearing or through spiritual sight, you handle them differently, but each one is just as each one is inspired by the Spirit. Whether you receive it visually or audibly, not physically audibly, but in your words or images, each is inspired. Any questions or comments on what on this section here, what we covered, about everyone having the potential?
Are they mentioned anywhere in the New Testament or just the Old Testament?
The word seer, as I don't see that, pun intended, I don't see the word seer in the New Testament. However, it talks about the same functions in the New Testament, which was on that list of scriptures we looked at last week. So we're talking about even any prophetically inclined person or... Even if God chooses to use somebody without their prophetic gifting, they can still be a seer, or they can... The difference there is whether they see things visually or whether they hear the words specifically. That's the only distinction. But we saw lots of, almost two pages of scriptures last week that talk from the New Testament that talk about seeing. It's a good question, though. That word does not appear in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament term. But we use it... People use it today simply to distinguish between the type of reception that you have, okay? Whether it's words or images.
So the book of Revelation that John wrote, he saw and he heard from his position of seer, prophet, apostle.
Or none of the above. He's not recognized in Scripture elsewhere as a prophet. He wrote a gospel. and he wrote several letters. The gospel was a letter, but also the 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, those were all letters. And then God gave him this revelation of the end times. But he is not identified as a prophet anywhere in Scripture. So God can use any of us. That was a very graphic, intense experience that he had, yes. And we get the same sensation when we read through it. It's very graphic and very intense. I think it's significant that God gave that revelation to the one whom Jesus loved the most. Let's talk about the purposes of spiritual sight. Now, this is relevant to anyone who has a spiritual visual experience regardless of their spiritual gifts. You may not have the gift of prophecy, but yet have a spiritual vision or hear the Lord's voice. Right? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That phrase common good is the Greek verb symphero, which means to be profitable, advantageous, or appropriate to a particular end. Every spiritual gift or manifestation has a specific purpose. Now, godly character is based on humility and agape, right? Are those characteristics of God?
Yes.
I see those two, humility and agape, as the foundational characteristics upon which all the others become functional. Together, humility and agape motivate us to serve others, even at personal expense or risk. In other words, we are willing to expend ourselves using our spiritual gifts to serve others. Actually, let me put it this way. Spiritual gifts primarily are for serving effectively in God's kingdom, which includes service to others as expression of God's love and nature. Spiritual gifts primarily are for serving effectively in God's kingdom, primarily, which includes service to others as expressions of God's love and nature. Now, you may receive benefit from your spiritual gifts, but that's not an acceptable motivation for using them. We aren't learning about spiritual sight because it's cool or fun or makes people admire us because we can do these fun things. No, that would be a sinful motivation. We're trying to draw attention to ourselves or make ourselves happy or feel better about ourselves or whatever. No, the whole purpose of spiritual gifts is to serve others, even at personal expense or risk. Jesus said, no one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. We're not just talking about death, physical death here. We're talking about expending myself. Whatever I have available, it's yours. Okay? I'm willing to give what I have. Yes. That's what we're talking about. Laying down my life. Denying myself, my own interest, my own fleshly desires or whatever, my own motivations, my own career path, whatever. I'm willing to set that aside so that I can serve more effectively. That doesn't mean you have to give up your job to serve God. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I'm willing to expend myself, even at my own expense, even though at my own cost, even risk, in order to serve effectively in God's kingdom. And I do that largely by serving other people.
And then this accomplishes the purpose of what God wants us to do.
Exactly. That's why I say serving God, serving God's kingdom, which includes serving others, because God wants to serve people, but he does that through us.
Yeah.
Our goal is to serve, not to consume. Unfortunately, many Christians consume their gifts on themselves, use it for their own benefit. That is a sinful motivation. It's as clear as that. It's based on self-centeredness, which is sin.
Yeah, and isn't this where Paul says some of us have to be like eyes, some of us have to be like legs?
Yeah.
But together we're all just one body.
One body.
Yes.
One body, and that's what we're looking for.
And we each make our own unique contribution. Mm-hmm. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3 and 4. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies or strengthens himself, but he who prophesies edifies or strengthens the church. The word prophesy there is the Greek verb we've been looking at all along, prophetio, which means to speak under the influence of divine inspiration. And I suggest, my suggestion, is that that can be either verbal or visual inspiration. Either specific words to say or an image to describe. They both can be inspired. And the NIV says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. That's the same Greek word there that's translated strength, strengthen, or edify. One case it's translated strengthen, another case it's translated edify. For example, he says, Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening. That's the same Greek word there. It's translated in the next verse as edify. But spiritual sight has the same purposes as prophesying, serving others by strengthening, encouraging, and comforting them. Any questions or comments on today's material? You have it down, right? You're on top of this, right?
We have it up here.
And it takes a while to absorb it, yes, and digest it. Linda, you have a question or comment?
No, I'm just thinking, trying to
okay.
Get
that
was, all together in my mind.
That was a Lord help me not, I have a question, right? Okay, okay. Any other questions or any questions or comments about today's material? Or anything we've covered in this series so far?
Can we do the class over?
Can we do the class over? You have the worksheets, yes.
And
also, well, you also have access to all these recordings online on my website. Okay, so you can go back and listen to any of them you want to. So you can go back and review any one of these sessions or all of them if you want. Yes, you can review the yes, you can repeat the class. It's a little surprising when you ask how many of you speak in tongues and just a percentage say yes. It's a little surprising. I think, okay, we are a charismatic church, which means charismatic, baptism, you know, all that goes with it. Mm-hmm. And we have, I don't think that we can necessarily deal with all these types of topics on Sunday morning because you have a totally different audience on Sunday mornings, okay? And we have walk-in traffic, people who've never been in church before, much less been to a Pentecostal charismatic church, Pentecostal or charismatic church, much less those that say, we really emphasize, we encourage this in our services and so forth. And so on one hand, I understand, having served alongside pastoral staff, I understand how you need to find something, you have to present something that's receivable by everyone in the audience. I understand that. And we can rely on specialized topics or specialized groups like this one here, specialized like the growth series keep growing, Wednesday night sessions and so forth. We can emphasize that kind of topic to a more specialized group, which I think is appropriate. So we need to be shrewd, wise in what we present to the public at large. What about, let's focus on prophets and seers. Anybody have any questions or comments on prophets and seers? I have a recommendation for you. Go back to last week's session with all the scripture verses in it. Mm-hmm. Digest that. Read it. Meditate on it. Go back and do it again. Well, that does it. That does it right there. That is the scriptural basis for what we've been talking about in this series. That's it right there. In fact, you recall several of those verses in there are verses that I had used in previous sessions, but I included them because I wanted that list to be comprehensive. So I would suggest you go back to that session that included all the scripture references. In fact, online, I think I called it Spiritual Sight Scriptures. So go back and look at that session and read those. Meditate. That is scripture. That's what this is all based on. This is not based on my teaching or my opinion or anything like that. This has to be based on scripture. Otherwise, it's unacceptable. I'm serious. I said that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to serve more effectively in God's kingdom, which includes serving other people, right? Remember me saying that?
Yes.
And we said that everyone who prophesies, that is, speaks inspired words, whether it's based on hearing God's voice or seeing divine images or whatever, everyone who prophesies speaks for men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Those need to be the focuses of speaking the Lord's word, whether it comes by hearing his voice, specific words to say, or seeing an image that he's shown you and as he explains it to you. That needs to be the purpose of sharing it with other people, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to comfort them. So, I want you to see the authority statement at the bottom of your worksheet there. It starts off with, it's God's will for me. Do you see that? Yeah. I'd like for you to read that in unison with me. Would you please? Ready? Begin. It is God's will for me to see the spiritual realm, so in the authority Jesus gave me, I declare I will see it. Let's do it again, please. It is God's will for me to see the spiritual realm. So in the authority Jesus gave me, I declare I will see it. All right, I'd like for you to close your eyes, please. I would like for you to form a mental image of Jesus identifying a person's need and ministering to them. A mental image of Jesus identifying a person's need and ministering to them. Now, for the next minute, I want you to hold that view, and I want you to pray with your spirit, or pray in English if you prefer, but I want you to pray with your spirit. Hold that image in your mind and pray with your spirit. I'll give you about a minute. You ready? Begin. Come on, pray in the spirit. Pray aloud, please. Pray aloud, even in English, please. Okay, now with your eyes closed, ask Holy Spirit to show you something that will encourage someone in this room. Ask Holy Spirit to show you something that will encourage someone in this room. You have 1 minute. Focusing on spiritual vision, ask God for an image or a vision that will benefit somebody in this room. Okay, would anyone like to identify the person God showed you and what you saw? Would you like to identify the person God showed you and what you saw? It can be an individual or the group.
I'm just reminded of the scripture that is for everyone, that if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find, you know, I know the scripture, you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So just now, and I'm speaking to myself, if I knock and I speak, He will be there and He will show me the way and things will open up and be open.
Mm-hmm. Ask, seek, and knock. Present continuous tense. Persevere. Ask and keep asking. Did God give you an image or a vision that's relevant to someone in this group or to this group?
I saw Wendy just kneeling at the foot of Jesus, and He was touching her, particularly her eyes. And she said, I want to see you and I want to hear you. And He said, this is what I felt, but He was saying He was going to give Wendy wisdom that she would understand supernaturally. And then I saw Jerry. And his right arm was just, Jesus was helping Jerry up. He had been praying, and Jesus was right there on his right side to help him up.
So you saw Wendy and you saw Jerry.
Jerry.
No. Okay.
And when he finished praying, it was like the Lord helped him up to stand, and that big smile was just that glory on his face. Yeah. Beautiful.
Good.
Beautiful.
Did anyone else see anything? See visually. It's our emphasis today. Did anyone else see anything in the spirit that applied to anyone or in this group or to the group in total?
Well, it's like I saw Jesus, and He was just kind of walking around in the room, and He was saying, be encouraged. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you, and I love you. And just hold on. Just hold on. Because he's there. Mm-hmm. He's there for us.
And I saw Jesus talking to a small child. But then at the same time, other people would be looking, and all I could hear is, come, come, come. And then I thought of David Major. And I said, he has a lot more to offer. He never says anything in quiet. Yet he has a lot to offer. And I would like to see David contribute and give his side of it, because David is a little more spiritual than many of us would realize, because he doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. We want you to feel free to speak up. Anyone else see anything related to this group? Let me encourage you to continue doing this on your own. That's the reason I gave you the daily activity. Now, today's emphasis was more focused and appropriate for use of something like this, because we're hearing God speak so we can minister to other people, okay? God may speak to you at home about somebody that you won't see until Sunday. That's fine. But again, the emphasis of all these spiritual gifts is serving God effectively in His kingdom, which includes serving other people with the gifting that God has given you. So, please be open and anticipatory about seeing in the Spirit, as well as hearing God's voice. They go together, and one is not greater than the other. Final closing statement. God can reveal things to us through words, images, dreams, or visions. Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.